Bienvenue au podcast Quantum, le podcast numéro 1 sur l'entraînement, l'alimentation et le mindset pour devenir la meilleure version de toi-même. Sans plus attendre, voici votre hôte, Jacob Hamel.
Salut tout le monde, bienvenue au podcast Quantum. Cette semaine, je reçois Bedros Koulian. Bedros, c'est mon coach qu'est-ce qui est entreprise qui nous aide avec Quantum. Je voulais l'avoir sur le podcast parce que c'est quelqu'un qui a accompli des choses vraiment, vraiment incroyables dans sa vie. C'est un gars qui vient d'Europe, de l'Est, près de la Russie, qui est venu ici dans les années 1980. Il vivait dans un pays communiste. Il est arrivé plein de choses. Vous allez tout entendre ça dans le podcast. On a parlé de son parcours, de sa franchise Fit Body Bootcamp, de son livre Man Up. On a parlé du projet aussi, de tous ses tips pour être un badass dans toutes les sphères de sa vie, que tu sois un homme ou une femme. Et c'est ça, c'est en anglais. J'étais un peu nerveux. Donc, des fois, j'ai de la misère un peu avec mes phrases. Donc, soyez indulgents envers moi. Donc, sans plus tarder, voici l'entrevue avec Bedros Koulian. He's the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp franchise. He's the founder of True Lean Supplements, the man behind the project. He coached many millionaires in this industry. And he take people to the next level. He also wrote the new time bestseller, Man Up. Really glad to have you today, Bedros Koulian. How's it going?
Going well, my friend. Thank you so much, Jake. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. So you said in many interviews that you come from Armenia in the 1980. You've been eating in a dumpster and had your air washed with gasoline and everything. And now you own one of the biggest franchise in the United States in the fitness space. So what's the story behind all of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I kind of see myself like the Cinderella story because I grew up in communist Soviet Union. I was 6 years old when we escaped and came to the United States. And man, you know, when we came here, I didn't speak English. I didn't understand the culture. And to be honest with you, we didn't have a lot of money. I think we came here with under $200 and it was a family of five. My mom, my dad, my older brother, my older sister, and me. So when you're broke, you're living in Section 8 housing, government-assisted housing. We're getting food stamps. We're finding these giant dumpsters in the back of grocery stores where they throw away food that's expired. And just because it expired, they can't sell it. But if we go in there and get it, we can eat it. So, man, it was a tough life. I got to be very honest with you. And, you know, people look at you different. They don't respect you when you don't speak the language or understand the culture. They realize that you're broke and they look at you as a lesser human. That's just how it was. It felt that way. And so I grew up with very low self-esteem and low self-confidence. And, you know, because of that, for me, I didn't keep myself healthy. I ate a lot of sugary foods, high carb foods, high fat foods. And so add to that, now I'm a foreigner, we're broke, and I'm fat and out of shape as I go into elementary school, junior high, and high school. And so I think I got very lucky when the senior year of high school, the last year of high school, or the year before that, I knew that there was a prom coming up and I wanted to go to prom with a girl. I didn't have many friends, but one guy in my science class in high school, he was an athlete. He played football and he was in great shape. Everybody liked him. He had great confidence. And I asked him, I said, Dave, how can I get in shape? How can I lose weight so that Nakaya could find me attractive next year so that I could hopefully ask her to the prom? He said, man, you got to work out. You got to eat right. So I didn't know how to work out. I didn't know how to eat right. And I didn't even know what eat right meant. And so he was kind enough to take me into the high school gym. And you know this, when you first start working out, it's intimidating. It's overwhelming. You feel awkward because you can't even control the weight. But that entire summer, I lost... Well, it's been about 3.5 months. I lost just over 30 pounds and I came back to school senior year in better shape and better mental shape as well, more confident. And I realized that what I wanted to do in my life. I wanted to be a personal trainer. Never did I have any direction in my life. And all of a sudden, senior year of high school, people are paying attention to me. They're asking me what happened to my body, how I changed and transformed. And I realized I wanted to help others achieve this. And so I never did ask Nakai to the prom. I never went to the prom because I didn't have the confidence to ask her. But what did happen is I found my path in life. And so after high school, I got certified as a personal trainer. And that's where the journey of, you know, fitness, mental fitness, emotional fitness, physical fitness began for me and the process of helping others as well. And then you fast forward 15, 20 years, and here I am as the founder and CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp, an international fitness franchise and a supplement company and the best-selling book. But all of that started with that one shift in my body and my mind.
Hmm. And you talk about Fit Body Bootcamp for those who don't know what it is. And I'm curious to know when the idea come to you for that and how did it scale from one location to 600, I think, right now. So
Yeah. So, man, it's funny, right? People ask me all the time, they go, how do I find my purpose? I say, look, your purpose isn't lost. So you can't find something that's not lost. And I go, you really have to develop your purpose. They go, okay, how do I develop my purpose? I say, I don't know. Find something that you like and keep doing it until you find something that you like even more. And then keep doing that until you find something that you love and then keep doing that. For me, the easiest way is, I always tell people, if there was one thing you could do for free, if I paid for your lifestyle, for your money, your expenses, your health insurance, you didn't have to worry about money. What would you do for free? And they'll go, blah, 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 whatever it is. Well, great. That's probably a good idea of what your purpose, where your purpose lies. So start going down that path. So for me, I knew that I would train people for free. If somebody just paid for my lifestyle, fed me, gave me a roof over my head, I would just train people for free all day long. And so I was so passionate about that as I became a personal trainer, one of my personal training clients, as you know, when you're a personal trainer, a lot of your clients are affluent, they're wealthy. And so they see the world very differently than a guy who comes from a communist country, who's a foreigner and always was broke. And so they go, hey, you know what? You should own a gym. I go, me own a gym? Yeah, you should open up a gym. All right, well, I don't know how. And one of my personal training clients, his name is Jim Franco. He started coaching me, like business coaching me. So I'm coaching him in his body. He's coaching me in business. And before long, I had opened up my first gym, personal training studio. I had borrowed some money from him with interest, and I paid him back over time. And it was my first taste of being an entrepreneur. And that's where I realized I love helping people so much, but I could only help so many people one-on-one myself. So in my gym, in my studio, I had – over time, I built it up to like 10 other personal trainers, and each of my personal trainers were full with their schedule. So now I could look out and I could go, wow, man, we're helping a couple hundred people here. This is great. Well, as time went on, I realized I could open another gym and another gym. And so at some point I had 5 one-on-one personal training gyms. Well, that was in the early 2000s when the economy was thriving. And by 2008, when the housing market crashed and we had the global economic crisis, which we were experiencing now again because of the COVID quarantine and lockdowns, when the economy crashed, personal trainers, they suffered a lot because most people couldn't afford to pay $600 to $1,200 a month for one-on-one personal training. So a lot of our businesses suffered. I saw that people were doing outdoor boot camps. These personal trainers were doing outdoor boot camps. And it's one personal trainer, many clients, and I would pay attention and I would see they're getting results. They're enjoying it because there's many clients that can pay less per session, per hour. And I realized in that moment that there might be something there. And if I could just take that outdoor boot camp and bring it indoors where we can use more equipment, create more systems. My brain always works around scale. How can I scale something? How can I have a bigger, greater impact? And so I knew that the outdoor boot camp was not weatherproof. So in places like Quebec, where you're at, if it's winter time, outdoor boot camps are going to be non-existent during that time, or if it's raining and it's snowing, right? And so in, here in California, maybe you can do boot camps year-round, but everywhere else you really couldn't. So my goal was, can I bring the outdoor boot camp indoor, and then can I make it a business model where clients get results, they can work out pretty much whenever they want, because we could fit, you know, 20 to 30 clients per time slot. And it's financially more convenient, more affordable than one-on-one personal training. And by 2009, I opened my first location, a Fit Body Bootcamp. By that point, I had already sold my 5 personal training gyms because they just weren't thriving anymore. And I sold it to a gym company that was coming through San Diego, which is where I lived at the time. And man, I open up the Fit Body Bootcamp location, and everybody loves it. They can afford it. They like the fact that it's a group environment. There's camaraderie. There's great culture. So I open up another, and I open up another. And now I realize I could scale this across the country. And so by 2012, I made it into a franchise, which means there's a model, there's a process. And, you know, I launched it in the U.S. and in Canada, where you're at. And today, you know, you fast forward, and today we have hundreds of locations throughout U.S. and Canada, and we're on our way into Switzerland, parts of Europe, and Saudi Arabia. But all of that is a byproduct of figuring out where my passion, my purpose in life was going to be, and then chasing it one client at a time until I could scale it bigger.
Do you think passion is enough? Like, do you think anyone could do amazing thing just with passion, or?
You know, I want to say yes, but the reality is no. That's just the truth. Passion is not enough, because you also need grit, and grit is your ability to, how much shit can you eat and keep going? That's grit. Passion is, hey, if everything is going great, I'm excited, I'm enthusiastic, I love this thing, I'm going to keep going. Grit means when nothing is going right, the coronavirus comes and gyms are shutting down and everybody's looking at you as the CEO, how much shit are you willing to eat and stay in the fight? That's grit. So you need passion and grit. And many people have passion towards something, but they don't have the grit to deal with the adversity and the hardship when it comes. And I guarantee you, about every 5 years, one very big adversity will come. And then several times a year, many small pieces of adversity will come. And that is when you have to exercise your grit muscle in addition to your passion muscle.
And talking about the year that we've been through, how did you manage to keep the gym like not open but running, and how did you live with all that? Like,
man, I gotta tell you, if you know, I was just interviewed last week, Jacob, and somebody asked me, what was the toughest year of your life as an entrepreneur? And I know he was waiting for me to tell him, like, oh, it was in the beginning, 2004, 2005, when I was still learning. And I said, oh, last year was the toughest year of my life as an entrepreneur. I don't know how we made through it, other than I said, I'm either going to die or this franchise is going to survive and thrive. And you know me well enough, because we work together. I don't do anything just to get by. I don't do anything just to survive. My goal is to thrive and grow and scale, because I want to impact lives. I want to influence people. But 2020, I changed my vernacular. I reframed everything, the lens that I looked through. And I said, right now in 2020, surviving is thriving. If I could just survive one more day, if I could help one more of my franchisees not shut down, if I can get one more Fit Body owner to stay open for another day, because we pivoted literally on March 16th, 2020, I made an announcement to all of our Fit Body Bootcamp locations that we have a social obligation and social duty to close our doors for the next 2 to 4 weeks to flatten the curve. If you remember, the whole idea was the curve, and we've got to flatten the coronavirus curve. And what we knew about the coronavirus then was that it's deadly, it's going to kill people, and we just need 2 to 4 weeks, and we're going to flatten the curve. So based on the information we had, I, as a leader, made a decision. And it was a scary decision, because I'm telling all these gym owners of mine, I'm telling them something that's going to impact their business, their income, their livelihood. But I said, hey, in 3 days, we're going to come up with an online coaching model where you're going to be able to coach your clients at home. And I'm going to teach you what you're going to say, what you're going to do. And me and the team here, we're going to help you develop an online coaching business. Well, thank God we did, Jacob, because as you know, the next 12 months was online coaching, a little bit of in-location coaching. And here in the States, it's a little different than Canada. Every state is very different. Like Florida and Texas, as you guys know, they will just open up and run business as normal. And then states like California, New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania, hey man, if you even open up, even let 5 clients in, we're shutting you down, turning off your electricity. And so it was very difficult for us to be able to thrive. And so I reframed everything that just, if I can survive, that is thriving. And as we made it to this other side, as we got to December of 2020, January of 2021 here, we saw the world opening back up, our gyms opening back up, and we felt the sigh of relief. But I would be lying to you if I said I was confident and felt competent the entire time, because I wasn't. Hmm.
And how did you manage all the stress? Do you have like tricks or tips or like practice that you did to manage all that pressure?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing, man. But I'm gonna tell you, you're a good dude, and I hope the people who are watching this don't judge me, but they can if they want. I don't care. In the beginning, March, April of 2020, like every day, me and my family, my wife and kids and I, we would go on a hike every night after work because it was just high stress. So we're going on a family hike, and it was like a 3-mile hike within the hills because I live in the hills here in California. And you know, when you're doing something tough and you're around your beautiful kids and your wife, the anxiety goes down, the pressure goes down, and you go, all right, tomorrow I will go back to work and I will fight that battle. But today I'm going to be dad, I'm going to be husband tonight, and that's that. Dude, about 2-3 months in, that was the plan, and it was working out. By about month number 3, I was like, I just need a little cocktail after this hike. I just need a little cocktail, that's all. Well, before you know it, there was more cocktails and less hikes, and more cocktails and less hikes. And Jacob, I'm being honest with you, there was about 4 to 5 month period where I was having several cocktails a night just to take the edge off. It's not the proudest moment, but it wasn't like I was drunk and angry and whatever. I just was coping the best I could, knowing that there might be a small chance that I lose my franchise, or at least a large part of my franchise, and have to rebuild from scratch. And when you see that you might lose it all, it's scary, man. It messes with your head. It messes with my son, for example. He was 14 last year. He's 15 now. You know, we go in the hot tub together every night. He asked, he said, hey, dad, are we going to be okay? I go, yeah, son, we're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. He could tell him, I'm not sure. He goes, are we going to lose our house? No, we're not going to lose our house, son. I jokingly said, even if we do, we could just live at the HQ. I've got a shower in my office, and we'll figure it out. But I can tell my kids were worried. I can tell my wife was worried. I could look at my employees and tell they were worried. They were worried for themselves. They were worried for me. And so alcohol became a really good crutch during that time. And I wish I could say I could have done things differently, but I didn't. And I'm okay with that.
I think it's really like too much people, you listen to them on the internet, and they always are like stress management A1 and everything. So before we had our coaching call this afternoon, and you told me I was having some issues, and you told me, man, I live practically the same thing, but at a different level. And yeah, it's so much relieving to have someone like where you are telling, like, yeah, sometimes I don't do meditation and de-stress and everything is good. And yeah, so that's cool. And during that time, I think it's in the late of the summer, you were pushing really hard, and you still are on the project. Can you explain what's the project and what's all about?
Yeah. So I realized something about myself, and it's funny, going back to, I think the theme of this is going to be purpose. I realized that I love helping people. So I started Fit Body Bootcamp, and I love helping people. So I started my supplement company, Trulene, because I figured I don't want to see people using cheap quality supplements and putting, like, you would never drink Clorox bleach, yet we take supplements that have hormones and fillers and artificial sweeteners in them, and we put it into our body, and there's a negative repercussion for that. So I said, I'm going to create the best supplement line, Trulene, and it's going to be the healthiest thing ever. It's not cheap. It's the most expensive supplement line, but it's healthy and it's better for you. And so with that, I realized that we need to help more men. Like, I, for example, when I wrote my book, Man Up, 2 years ago, I wrote it because I didn't know how to handle my stress. I didn't know how to communicate well to my spouse. I wasn't a great leader, and I was suffering in silence. I was white knuckling through life. People around me would walk on eggshells, because if you just pissed me off, I would go off. And I had a series of anxiety attacks that the first time I had it, I thought I was having a heart attack, Jacob. And you know, I was 37 years old then. I'm 46 now, so that was 9 years ago. And I remember feeling so much sadness and so much regret when I was having that anxiety attack, which I thought was a heart attack, because I remember thinking, who's going to walk my daughter down the aisle? She's, at the time, man, she was like a little puppy, 4 or 5 years old. I remember thinking, who's going to teach my son to be a modern day knight? Who's going to protect my wife like I promised I would? And as I thankfully realized, well, I didn't die, and then went to the doctor and figured out that it was an anxiety attack, I started dealing with my stress, communicating more, dealing with my problems instead of just burying them like most men do, and finally started feeling better, had greater peace of mind, happiness, joy, slept better. And so I wrote my book, Man Up. And in the book, I talked about these challenges that I do. Like, I'll take on a 6-week challenge. I've never run before. I'll train for 6 weeks and I'll run a marathon. I've never fought anyone in jujitsu. I hired a jujitsu world champion, and we trained for 6 weeks, and then he brought in a guy, and then we competed for 3 matches, and I beat the hell out of me. But it's so cool to be able to build your competence and your confidence so quickly through these challenges. And every time I did a new challenge, whether it was rock climbing, jujitsu, MMA, the running, surfing challenge, I didn't know how to surf and I was afraid of the ocean. And so I hired a coach and started surfing. Each time I did that, I became a better leader. I had greater discipline. I had more mental strength and emotional discipline. And with that made me a better husband, a better father, a better entrepreneur. And so I talked about that in my book, Man Up, and men started to ask me about that. Like, hey, you should have a challenge for us. We should do something where we can create that kind of growth. Well, what took me 5 years, we created this challenge called The Project, the Modern Day Night Project. It's a 75-hour experience, 75 hours straight. And we take 20 men, 20 to 22 men, and myself, a Navy SEAL, a U.S. Marine, a SWAT, former SWAT operator, and an MMA fighter, we're the instructors, and we take these men through a 75-hour experience that's physically demanding, mentally tough, and emotionally draining, to break them down and build them back up into modern-day knights. And it is the most rewarding thing I've done ever in my life. But as I look at my purpose in life, it is still to serve and help and build up humans. And so I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I can tell you it has something to do with serving and building and helping and building people up. Like, you're a coaching client, so I help you in another way, and I have 47 other coaching clients like you that I get to serve and help and build up in your business and in your mindset of being an entrepreneur. And for me, that's just so fulfilling.
And you said also in an interview or a podcast that, like, there's a percentage of people that don't make it through the 75 hour.
Yeah, about 4. So the Navy SEAL, I had my Navy SEAL friend, Ray Cashcare, develop the workout, or not the workout, I guess the training evolution. So we're carrying logs during hikes. We take them to the beach, and a lot of beach torture, a lot of pulling a truck, ice bath. So very physically demanding, but we give plenty of breaks in between. But things are also very scary, and you don't get a lot of sleep, and you're being yelled at. So it's a very stressful environment. But all of that is by design to break you down, teach you to communicate, problem solve, teamwork, etc. And so because he's a Navy SEAL, and the SEALs, when they go through training, it's called BUDS, Basic Underwater Demolition. And they have this bell. You could ring the bell anytime and you could quit the torture and you could leave. And you're not going to be a Navy SEAL. And so he bought a bell, and we carry the bell with us everywhere during the 75 hours. And if you want to quit, you just walk over to the bell, you ring it three times, one for yourself, one for your team, the team of men that you're about to let down, and one for your family. You ring the bell three times and you're done. So about 40% of the men who go through the project will ring the bell. Breaks my heart. I try and talk them out of it. Sometimes I can, most of the time I can't, because once you make up your mind, it's over. And that's how that ends. Ironically, it never happens during the hardest time of when they're working out or in the water or crawling through mud at 2 o'clock in the evening. It's when we give them 2 or 3 hours of time to sleep, where they're just relaxed, and then we wake them up, very violently wake them up. We always have a couple guys, they sit up and they go, I want to ring the bell. Like, to go from comfort to discomfort is so scary. I just want to ring the bell. I don't know what's coming next, but I know it's not going to be fun. I want to ring the bell.
And what's the biggest transformation that you saw with a guy that began the 75 hour and after also the next month and next year?
So we see this in about 80% of the men who graduate. The biggest transformation we see, and I see it in the form of letters that come to me in the mail from the wives. The wives who go, I don't know what you guys did, but he came back. I'm getting goosebumps talking about this, man. This is weird. He came back different. He interacts different with me and my kids, our kids. We have a date night every week now. He leaves work outside and he shows up present. But then when he's at work, he doesn't have any guilt about being without us. So the transformation that we see is in their relationship with their spouse and their kids. And once everything is good on the home front, the business grows easily. So it's always your family, your health, your family come first. And if you can do that, the business will grow as a byproduct. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest fulfillment that we get.
I know you have a lot of friends in the Navy SEALs and the project and everything. What did you learn the most from them?
Oh, man. You know, I've learned so much from them. But in terms of thinking, what I've learned most, and David Goggins talks about this all the time, you have so much more to give. Like, your body has so much more to give. Your brain gives up early. And what I've learned is when you pay attention, there's a conversation happening between your ears. I call that the bitch and the beast. There's two people that live within us. One's a bitch, a little bitch, and one's a beast. That bitch has a louder voice. Our job, I believe, as humans, the day we're born, I wish our parents should teach us how to suppress that inner negative voice that tells us we can't do it, we're not capable of doing it, we're not good enough to achieve it, we're not worthy enough to have it, that inner bitch, where the pain is too great to tolerate it. I wish our parents would teach us from day one to suppress that negative conversation, that inner bitch, and to allow that beast to come out. Our parents don't do that. They don't do that because they go, hey, be safe. Watch out. You can't do that. You're too chubby. You're clumsy. And so that becomes our identity. And so we become neutered. We become defamed. We lose our fangs and claws. And in life, we walk around going, I know I'm an animal, but somehow I'm constantly a little bitch. And sooner or later, you realize I can actually go get my claws and fangs back and be the man I'm supposed to be a great leader, Be a servant and a savage. Be a protector and a provider. Be a gentleman. Be a modern day knight, but be ready to kill someone if I have to. That is in our DNA. And I know people want to identify as whatever, and they want to, you know, I'm sure I'll get canceled for this for the fifth time. But the truth of the matter is, there's a desire that every man has within to hunt and to protect and to love and to kill. And that has to be fed. And that's really what we encourage. Now, I'm not saying go kill people. I'm saying, instead of killing, let's go be aggressive on the jiu-jitsu mat, in the gym, in the ring with boxing, because it's in you. And if you suppress it, it'll come out in a very passive aggressive way that, again, makes you a bitch.
You talk about the importance of family, family first, your health first, family first. How did you manage between family, business? I know a lot of our clients sometimes have trouble, even if they don't own a business, just job and family and everything and training. And how do you manage all that?
Yeah, so the way I manage all that is with great time management, man. I live off my calendar. My assistant, Joan, who does a phenomenal job. We talked about earlier today because we had a coaching call. Like every Tuesday, Thursdays, I have coaching calls. And my coaching calls are back-to-back. I batch process them. And then in the afternoons, I do these Zoom videos, whether they're podcasts or live trainings. That's Tuesday, Thursdays. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm doing meetings with my team. And all the meetings are back-to-back. And so it's about really being able to use the highest level of time management and personal productivity, and then having a consistent, not only morning routine, but a daily routine. I've gotten to the point now where I have a weekend routine. I even set my alarm to wake up at a certain time on the weekends. I do the same things that I do during the weekday. Because if I break my pattern on the weekend, then by Monday, I'm going to have a more difficult time falling back into my normal routine, which is why most businesses have the highest level of call-in sick days on Mondays. Everyone's anxious. They're underslept. They've overeaten. They've overdrank. They've over-argued. And then the thing is the entrepreneurs who are anxious, depressed. So if I could just maintain a great routine throughout the weekend, then I'm going to show up Monday ready to fight. And people go, well, it sounds like you have a very boring life. There's nothing spontaneous about your life, Pedros. Yeah, it is boring, but it's predictable. I don't have anxiety attacks anymore. I don't want spontaneous. If I want something spontaneous, I will schedule it in my schedule, which I know, therefore, it's not spontaneous, but I like that.
Mm-hmm. And you talk a lot about getting a date night once a week. So yeah. That is one of the things I think that really make a difference. Was it like a big change for you when you integrate that, or?
Yeah. Oh man, was it? Because you know it's funny, right? We find a significant other, whether it's the boyfriend or girlfriend. Man, they're the highest priority to us. We change around our work schedule, our workout schedule, our food schedule, just to be with them, and then we get married to them. And then we slowly make everything else a priority and they become a second thought. And then, you know, 2-3 months go by and she might go, hey, you want to go on a date? Oh, yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. What date? What day do you want to go? I don't know. What day do you want? That shows that you have no value for that person anymore. And so by doing that, I really was showing my wife that my business is the other woman. It feels like your business is the other woman or the other man. And so in an environment like that, you begin to have static and argument and friction. And so after feeling that, I realized, hey, what's important to my wife? What's important to me? We need time to connect. Well, I travel on weekends because I speak at events, et cetera. Mondays and Tuesdays are very high speed, fast days, and I'm not the best person to be around. But Wednesdays for me are the perfect date night. So every Wednesday at 6 p.m., it's built in right into my calendar on Google Calendar. Every Wednesday until the end of time, I have a date night scheduled. The only time on Wednesdays I don't have a date night is 5 times a year because we have 5 project classes a year, and the project starts on Tuesday, ends on Friday. And so obviously there's no date night because we're in there with instructors. But in that case, I moved the Wednesday date night to Sunday that follows. And so by making it a priority, by already knowing where we're going to eat and what time, it sends a message to my wife that I value you, that I respect you, and that I want connection. It's a very important thing.
Hmm. In your book, Man Up, you talk about being a fighter jet instead of a crop duster. Can you just explain a little bit what you mean by that?
Yeah. So, dude, I'm like this. Once I realize that I'm the problem, I just go deep inward and I beat myself up. I'm so much like that. And so when I realized that I was the problem of all my problems, I was the cause of all my problems, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like a crop duster. I'm slow at everything I do. I procrastinate. I hit the snooze button. I overeat. I go to the gym and I don't work out as hard as I used to. I need to be more like a fighter jet. A fighter jet is on top of it, man. They go to war, they go to battle, they win. And so I had this visual in my head of like people who are productive, successful, happy, who have impact, they're fighter jets in life. They are purpose-driven. A crop duster just gets around to doing the crop dusting whenever they can. And so I realized I was living life like a crop duster and I needed to live life like a fighter jet, because even a crop duster has this feeling deep down inside where you're like, I feel this sense of greatness. I feel like there's something else I should be doing. Every man, every woman who is alive right now, if they're not living their purpose, like I am right now, I'm living my purpose. If they're not living their purpose, there's this sense of gnawing inside their gut that says you should be doing more. There's something else you should be doing. There's a different path for you. You can ignore that all you want. The more you ignore it, the more depressed, anxious you get. The more you begin to drink alcohol and overeat food and distract yourself with television and whatever, well, you know, that's living like a crop duster. If you just slap yourself and wake up and realize that you're procrastinating, living your purpose, then you start living like a fighter jet, because what am I supposed to be doing? How can I do that? How can I wake up and win every day? And that's what fighter jets do.
Hmm. That's really good. And I know you like books. What are your three top books that you suggest the most?
Oh, great question. Number one, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Great book, Outwitting the Devil. Number two, Psycho Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. Really helps with the inner work. Number three, Relentless by Tim Grover. He was Michael Jordan's and Kobe Bryant's trainer. Relentless, great book. Those are the top three that I would recommend for anyone who wants to start doing the inner work to become great.
Hmm. I have a few questions from some followers on the internet, Instagram and Facebook. When did you get your aha moment to scale? When did you come to realize, okay, I want to not only have one gym, but to dominate the space?
Yeah, I got the aha moment when I got the confidence. I've always wanted to scale, but I didn't have the confidence to scale. And so I think once I started realizing that people that have big gyms, like brands of anything, lots of car dealerships or lots of grocery stores or lots of gyms, there's nothing different about them, nothing different. They have the same problems that I do. They look just like me. The difference is I think that they're somehow special and I feel like I don't have that special sauce. And so I just sit here and wait around to become special. When, as it turns out, we all have it in us and I just did it. I just did it, but it was a confidence thing for me.
And what's your biggest tips on how to increase confidence?
Win every day, win small things. You know, I turned off the snooze button on my iPhone. You can turn off your snooze feature so that there's no snooze, because you set your alarm the night before. That means you're making a promise to yourself to wake up at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 6 a.m., whatever time. If you hit that snooze button, you're breaking a promise. And instead of winning, you just got a loss, an L. And so in life, every day, you're either going to stack more wins or more losses. For me, if I don't hit the snooze button and I wake up when I'm supposed to, that's a win. Small win, but it's a win. Then I drink my 30 ounces of water. I have a big cup of water, 30 ounces sitting there waiting for me. I drink it all before I go in the shower. I don't drink at all, that's an L. I want a W. So that's another win. I take my shower and I go downstairs and I send out my three gratitude text messages. Three very small text messages to people that I love, appreciate, and treat for. That's a win. If I send out two, that's an L. So as I stack my wins, each time you stack a little win, you're going to be that much closer to bigger wins. Mm-hmm. Now imagine over days and weeks and months and years, those wins show confidence, because what it does is winning creates credibility, meaning you have credibility and trust in yourself. You begin to trust that you will do what you say you're going to do. And credibility, confidence is credibility. If I have confidence that Jacob is going to show up to this podcast, then I'm going to be here. If I'm like, man, he's missed five of his coaching calls and he didn't come to his half day, then I'm not going to have confidence you're going to show up. But you have proven to me, Jacob, that I can have confidence in you. You've never missed a call. You've never missed a thing. And so I have confidence in you. How cool would it be if you could build your confidence in yourself by stacking wins and building credibility? So once you do that, like, it's like hockey sticks. Confidence is hockey. Yeah.
How much an impact did mentors have on your life? I know you talk about Jim Franco. Did you have like other mentor? Do you still have some mentor that helped you?
I do. Yeah. So Jim Franco was my first mentor, and I didn't realize he was mentoring me. I just thought he was some old guy who's a businessman who liked me and wanted to hang out and talk. Years later, I look back and I go, he was mentoring me. And I guess he was my one and only free mentor. Since then, once I realized that, I've hired Dan Kennedy, Jay Abraham, Joe Polish, Frank Kern, Joel Walden right now is one of my coaches and mentors. He teaches me how to speak better and tell better stories. And so, you know, speaking of mentors, for jiu-jitsu, I hired a mentor for 6 weeks, a coach, right? We need to be coached and mentored if we want to get results faster in life. And so I'm a big believer in mentors. I love to spend money on mentors who can time collapse for me and help me avoid the frustration of trying to get to where I'm trying to get.
And next question, even at your level, do you still have some fears day to day in the business and everything?
Yeah. I mean, my ego wants to say, no, man, I've got no fears. But of course, I do. And by the way, I have the good fortune to hang out with a lot of the other blue checkmark guys who you see on stage who make a lot more money than I do. And we hang out in those green rooms, you know, before we go on stage and speak. There's a green room in the back of the backstage. And they all feel the same way. Like, we all have the same fears and frustrations and desires. And we feel things aren't coming fast enough. And it's taking too much friction to get there. And I feel other people are getting there ahead of me. Every single one of us have that. But then you have to, again, that's that negative voice. That's that little inner bitch. You shut it down and you do it anyway. Like, who cares if Tom Bilyeu, who I love to pieces, he's a dear friend, he's got a $1 billion company with Quest. So when I look at Tom and he's my age, I'm like, my company's only worth $200 million, right? Who cares, man? Like, whatever, right? So, but it's so easy to compare yourself and then feel like you're left behind, or Tom had it easy and I didn't. The truth of the matter is, you're going to get there at your own pace as long as you put in 100% effort and show up every day.
You're pretty good, followed on social media. What's one tips to grow your personal brand or company brand?
Yes, authentically put out great content and do not worry about pissing people off. When I stopped worrying about pissing people off and authentically put out great content, the kind of content where people want to share or people read and they go, hey, I want you on my podcast. So then put me on their podcast. Now their followers start following me. And then I put out more great content. And then, by the way, not all my content is great. Some of my content I write because it makes sense to me. And other people are like, hey, that's stupid. You should be canceled. Or, hey, that doesn't make sense. Or whatever. Or, how come there's no project for women? You're sexist, right? So I definitely get that as well. But, again, I don't care who I offend. And I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I realize you can't make everybody happy. I put out great content that people want to share. And when they share, I continue to grow. And that's really the secret. Like, I don't know if there's another secret. If there is, no one's told me about it.
too. Sometimes I think people get stuck in like funnels and ads and everything, but it's to always start with the basic first.
Basic every time. Yep.
And last question: what will be the one thing that if you can go back in time and meet the young Bedros arriving in USA, what would be the one sentence that you tell him?
Oh man. I would tell him, I would say, take the pen back and you decide what the next several chapters of your life is going to be like. You know, Jacob, I think if there's anything to take away from this podcast, is this last few minutes. When we're born, we're helpless. We're babies. And so our parents feed us. They dress us. They decide what color outfit you're going to wear, what your favorite color is going to be, what your favorite food is going to be. And then if you try and walk and you fall, they start calling you clumsy. Or if you were a little chunky like I am, they start calling you a cute name for chunky. But soon you grow up and they're calling you that name for being chunky, and that becomes your identity. Or they call you that name for being clumsy. Oh, you're clumsy. Oh, you're just slow in school. You always got bad grades. You're slow. So then you begin to think that you're fat, clumsy, and slow in school, and you begin to live your life that way. And at some point, I wish somebody would have told me, like, hey, that was them writing their interpretation of your life. Take the pen back, because there's thousands of more pages left, and start writing how your life goes. And that's what I would tell myself.
That's a good ending. Thanks for being here, Bedros. Where can people find you online?
Best place to find me is on my Instagram at BedrosKulian or at manup.com.
All right. Thanks for your time today. Thank you, everyone, who has listened. All right. Bye.